Yeah, off and running on a Thursday night / Friday morning. Gordon Damer with you here on The Fan, your overnight oasis with you for the next 5 hours as we take you up until 5 o'clock. The number, of course, you know, 888-808-1019. And, gee, do we have a thing or two to talk about tonight? The busiest sports day of the year, at least so far in 2026. We're what, 16 days in? Not much competition outside of this one. And let's start with the obvious. Let's just dive right into it at 888-808-1019. This offseason for the New York Mets has been an outright disaster. It has been a fiasco. And you just got your latest piece of evidence. The news, of course, Tommy was talking about it during his show. Kyle Tucker headed to the LA Dodgers. 4 years, $240 million. When I first saw that, I was like, no, that can't be right. That would be $60 million a year. No, it's $60 million a year. $60 million a season for Kyle Tucker. Although, since it's the Dodgers, and you know how they do business with the deferrals, it's not going to be $60 million a season. You know that for a fact. And it is just a ridiculous contract. And I think that this works on different levels. I think the Dodgers and Major League Baseball are playing chess while everybody else is playing checkers when it comes to this contract. But let's get into the Mets angle of this, because it's impossible to ignore. And it's almost like the Mets didn't have to put themselves in this position, but they found themselves in this position. They put themselves in this position, and then it all fell apart anyway. We got the reports here the last couple of days. Something was going to come to a head here soon for Kyle Tucker. And when the offseason began, the two teams that seemed likely to land Kyle Tucker were the Dodgers and the Blue Jays. And when the offseason began, there was talk, 10-year contract, $400 million. That's been going on for a while. But then, over the last couple of days, it seemed like, hey, the Mets are players in this. The Mets are deep in these negotiations. And it seemed like over the last couple of days, I was looking at the prediction markets. Looked like the Mets were the favorites to land Kyle Tucker. And man, oh man, how an offseason can, not that it would fix everything that's gone on this offseason, but at least it would feel like, hey, you know what? There is an actual plan. And then in the course of the day, you get Steve Cohen firing up the Twitter that he has not done, basically, since he called the fans and media idiots. What was that, last month? I think that was last month. Asking if there was any smoke, if there was a decision made. It was such a lame tweet, he actually had to go back on and explain it. And you're thinking to yourself, well, the owner of the Mets is tweeting about it. It's not done yet. But he wouldn't be tweeting about it unless the Mets were going to get the guy, right? Like, how stupid would you have to be tweeting about the guy if you didn't know you were going to land the guy? And then you get the news, I guess it was about 11 o'clock, maybe 10:30, that the Mets had been informed that Kyle Tucker had made his decision and it was not the Mets. And then shortly after, I think it was Jeff Passan who first had the news that the Dodgers had, in fact, landed Kyle Tucker. So the Dodgers did it to you again. They did it to you again. The team who your own team owner has said he wants to be like, beat you again. And look, this is not reactionary. When the offseason began the way it did, I was willing to give David Stearns the benefit of the doubt. I was willing to give the Mets the benefit of the doubt. I was willing to give Steve Cohen the benefit of the doubt. But look, there's got to be a plan, right? There's got to be a plan. If you're breaking up the core, you're going to replace the core with something different. Maybe it might not be as good overall. Maybe it'll be some moving pieces. Maybe it's not going to be a finished product at the start of the season. But this would be the offseason. After the way that last year went, this was the offseason for dramatic change with the New York Mets. And let's get a couple of things clear right off the bat. A, this Kyle Tucker story has nothing to do with the Yankees. Zero to do with the New York Yankees. The Yankees weren't in on Kyle Tucker. They didn't want him. Now, maybe they read the situation that they couldn't afford him, but it also seems like they didn't really like the player either. And at least for one thing, they read the market correctly, because the Yankees would not be paying anybody $55 million, let alone Kyle Tucker. So this has nothing to do with the Yankees. And I would say this one has really nothing to do with David Stearns. And I know Met fans are not going to want to hear that, because they've got David Stearns derangement syndrome. Everything that goes on that they don't like involving the Mets, not involving the Mets. They want to blame David Stearns. This one is on the owner. This one is on Steve Cohen. And you know it as well. You might want to blame David Stearns for this, but you know this is on the owner. You know how you know? Who do we give credit for the Mets last offseason signing Juan Soto? Did we give credit to David Stearns? No, of course not. That was not a David Stearns move. That was an owner move. That was above his pay grade. That was the owner breaking out the checkbook and making sure he landed the player. Same deal here. This is a money deal. This is an owner deal. And imagine having unlimited money coming off the season that the Mets did, having the offseason that the Mets have had, and still not getting the player, losing out to the two-time defending champions again in an offseason where they already stole your closer from you, the closer you wanted to bring back. This happening in the final year, basically, that you are going to be able to flex your financial muscles as the big bad Steve Cohen when you've already reduced the payroll. I mean, what are you doing? What's the plan here? If you want to blame David Stearns is secondary to Steve Cohen on this one. This is an owner deal. And to lose out on this guy over money, it would be one thing if the Mets weren't involved. If David Stearns said, you know what, I just don't like his profile. I don't like the type of player he is. I don't like the regression he had last season in the field. He's not the Mets were in. And there's two things that this could be. Either one, this was the plan, and they failed again, or they made this the plan because the offseason has gone so poorly. Either one does not exactly bode well for the people who are running the New York Mets. And again, I'm a Yankee fan, but this is not the reactionary Yankee fan trying to hammer the Mets. I agreed with the Nimmo deal. I understood moving off of Pete. I got why they were breaking up the core. I agreed with trading away McNeil. But this offseason, I mean, if you wanted to ruin your fan base anymore, what more would you do? You've ticked off the fan base. Do you want to sell any tickets next year? You've gotten rid of all the homegrown players. And again, I'm okay with that. But you got to replace him with something. You've still not added a starting pitcher. And I would simply ask, what happened to big bad Steve Cohen? When Steve Cohen came on the scene, he was going to ruin baseball. Nobody would be able to outspend Steve Cohen for the things that he wanted. Now look, I didn't expect him to continue to spend silly like he had done earlier on with some of the contracts that he handed out. But the beauty of having the billionaire owner is that when the genius GM identified a player, there were no limits. You would be able to go out and get that guy. Money is no object when it comes to the New York Mets. That's what I was led to believe. So I would simply say, what has happened to Steve Cohen? Because this offseason has been a disaster. There's no other way to look at it. And you could say, well, there's still time. The players are going off the board here. This has been, it's not the only time this has happened, but this has been a pretty drawn out offseason. It's not like the NFL offseason or the NBA offseason where free agency hits and guys are boom, boom, boom. You've had weeks to sit around. What have you been doing? This has not been a fast-moving market. What have you been doing in your pursuit of trying to get Kyle Tucker? If this has been the plan the entire time, I don't know. Again, it's one of two things. Either this was the plan the entire time or they screwed it up, or this was the backup because the offseason has been so bad, the GM has done basically not has not really been able to land anything of real substance to improve the team. There's been some pivots. And the owner decided, hey, you know what? We got to get something. The fans are so ticked off. We're not going to be able to draw flies next year coming off a season where we won 83 games and missed out on a playoff spot to the Cincinnati Reds. Couldn't even make the final wild card spot in a National League where it was not exactly an unbelievable National League last year. It wasn't like there were 10 teams battling for the spots. It wasn't exactly like the Cincinnati Reds got on a real heater and won their 89 games. The Dodgers are doing what Met fans were led to believe Steve Cohen was going to be doing. What happened to big bad Steve Cohen? Was there a dip in the market today? Was there some sort of crash on the stock market that I'm not aware of? I don't really keep track of those kind of things. But it's hard to believe that you can look at the offseason the New York Mets have had and look at it in any other way. And look, I'm not on that often on the station, but if you've heard me, I have preached patience. I have said, give it some time. Clearly, David Stearns is a smart guy. He's got a plan. It's hard for me to make that case anymore. It's hard for me to defend these moves. Because again, what's the pivot now? What's the plan now? I guess you would have to say if you're a New York Met fan, you got right. You want to see something done. Do you go out now and go sign Cody Bellinger? I thought that that was a plan that made sense earlier on in the offseason. But are you going to now go and pivot and make that the move? There's not that many more moves to be made. Guys are going off the board here. Bo Bichette doesn't really fit the New York Mets anywhere. Like, so what exactly is the move? And again, we're talking about the offense. They still have not addressed the number one issue surrounding the team. You have given the fans absolutely nothing outside of anger. Losing players who were on your team and then losing players that you were pursuing. We thought the losing ended when the regular season ended. Apparently not. It's just going to continue. So if you're a New York Met fan, you have got to be absolutely furious. And again, is $60 million insane to be giving Kyle? Absolutely. It's a huge overspend. But here's a couple of things. You know, with the Dodgers, it's not going to be $60 million. There'll be deferral somehow, so he'll only be counting as $25 million next season. And this is probably the last season that big bad Steve Cohen and his billion-dollar wallet are going to be able to flex those financial muscles to this degree. Whatever the new rules surrounding the game are going to be, they're going to be tougher to go spend the money than they are right now. You would think if there was ever a time, based on the season you had, based on the offseason you've had, based on the players you've lost, and based on the players that are left, if there is ever a time to go for broke, shoot the locks off the wallet, and spend what needed to be spent to get the guy signed. This is like Glengarry, Glenn Ross. Get them to sign on the line that is dotted. It's not that complicated. Steve Cohen should understand that. Met fans do. So to lose Kyle Tucker and to watch another free agent go off the board, and never mind just go off the board, go to the Dodgers. The Dodgers beat you again. It's got to be demoralizing. 888-808-1019 is the telephone number. 888-808-1019. Let's get some phone calls in here. We'll start things off with John in West Sayville. John, you're first up on the Fan.
Hey, Gordon. Good morning. How you doing?
I'm good, man. What's going on, John?
Gordon, I got to tell you, very frustrated Mets fan here this evening. It almost feels like they didn't have a plan going into this offseason. I don't know what the direction of this team is. You have heard from David Stearns how we have these young guys coming up in the minor leagues. They're coming. I believe, though, you're putting too much pressure on these potential young kids that we don't know anything about yet. You're talking about you've got rid of your core. You got rid of guys that were part of a clubhouse and built something there. Now, you had those stories come out that there was friction between a couple guys in the locker room and they had to switch things up a little bit. Okay, fine. You want to talk about the future, but I feel like there's no plan.
It certainly seems that way.
You have a team now, Gordon, going into this season, and yes, we still have a couple of months left. But if you told me the season started tomorrow and this is the team the Mets were putting out there, this is maybe a 70 to 80 win team. I mean, and I don't think I'm wrong saying that.
Look, I mean, they were 83 last year, and all they've really done is subtract or pivot. You know, like I'm not as down on the Nimmo move for Simeon, or, you know, letting Pete go. I was okay with that, but you have to replace it. And now anything you do, it's not even going to feel like plan B. It's going to feel like plan C or D at this point.
And I tell you, Gordon, Boogie brought this up before you came on. There needs to be like a state of the team address here. There has to be some serious questions that ownership and management need to answer. Because as you said, most likely next offseason, there's going to be a lockout in place. We're really gearing towards that.
If there wasn't going to be already after this Tucker deal, there's absolutely going to be one now, for sure. Yeah.
Just as a Mets fan tonight, it is very frustrating because it doesn't feel like the team has a plan.
Yeah.
Just out of frustration here, because the special team that they had in 2024 and the magical run they had, that feels like ages ago compared to what now that this team is facing. And I hate to say it, it may be a really rough season at Citi Field. And Gordon, I do appreciate the time.
Yeah, absolutely, John. Look, this is about coping for Met fans, because this was like your last real shot at adding something of significance at the top of. And look, that's where you want to operate. If your team is being run by Steve Cohen, I'm not saying that every single move you make has to be $50 million players, but money is no object to Steve Cohen. That's the benefit. So if you go out and make some other moves alongside, what's the top of the market play that you're making now? What's left? Bo Bichette? That's the big move? Like Cody Bellinger? That's the big move? You still haven't added to the starting pitching. I would assume that you're going to go with Carson Benge playing center. I mean, it's like as the offseason goes along, there's more questions than answers. And I was willing to believe. I was duped. I'll fall on the sword, as they say. I thought that David Stearns clearly has a plan. He's going to put it in place. You're not going to see it coming. I still don't see it coming. It's like you're waiting for the bus, looking down the road. There's no bus coming. Yeah, this is really bad. Like, again, most of the big free agents are off the board. So if this had happened a month ago, okay, then maybe you pivot and you go get, Alex Bregman to play third base. You go and do something. You have to give the fans something when they're thinking, hey, you know what? Are we going to buy season tickets to the Mets this year? Do we have a high level? And you've already got in based on, and again, I'm not against the moves that you made to break up the core. I think that that was the right approach, but you got to replace it in some way. You can't say, hey, don't worry, 2-3 years, we're going to have a lot of young, really good players. That's a hard one to sell. And I'll tell you right now, Met fans ain't going to buy it. 888-808-1019 is the telephone number, 888-808-1019. Let's go to Hector is in the Bronx. Hector, next up on the Fan.
Gordon, my guy, how you doing?
I'm good, Hector. What's going on, man?
Not much, man. Kind of have to, I usually agree with you, man, but I got to disagree with you tonight, man. I can't
okay.
on the owner, in my opinion. I'm a Yankee fan, too, looking from the outside looking in, and that narrative to me is crazy because the guy went above and beyond. A $50 million offer for that guy, which is like, that's a unit stretch for that guy. It's a little crazy. So he went $60 million. He's going to go to $65 million. Where does it stop at? Like, obviously, he knows that's above the guy's worth. So I get it. Like, but, and, you know, you guys can pivot and try to go after Bellinger or whatever or somebody else. But to spend $60 million or more on that guy, come on. The guy batted 273 last year with 70-something 266 with 73 RBIs. Come on. It's not worth it. He had 30 home runs in two different seasons. That was like in 2020 and 2021, I think. Guys hasn't done that since. So, like, I don't think that it's worth it. To me, those are average numbers. You bet 266. You never hit 300 in your life. And you want to make top dollar in the league, which he's going to make. But that's a stretch. That's crazy to me.
Well, look, Hector, you know, the old line is if you make only reasonable offers in free agency, you'll always come in third. And that's the case for the Mets in this case. They came in second, it seems like. Who knows? Maybe the Blue Jays' offer was better. I don't know. But they certainly didn't win. And when you're talking about, you know, he's not worth that, he's not worth... This is the last roundup, guys. There's going to be a work stoppage in 2027. Who knows what the rules are going to be in place by then? So if I got to spend more today because I'm not going to be able to spend it tomorrow, so be it. You needed to go out there, and this is the power of Steve Cohen. That's what I was led to believe. If he wants a guy, he's going to get a guy. That's why last offseason, as a Yankee fan, I was convinced they were going to lose Juan Soto because there was no way that the Mets could lose out on Soto with Steve Cohen. The Yankees will draw a line at some point. The Mets with Steve Cohen would not. So to me, I'm not putting the blame on this one on David Stearns. There's plenty of things you can blame David Stearns about this offseason, but if you're giving Steve Cohen the credit for landing Juan Soto, this is the same kind of deal. This is a money deal. This is an owner deal. And that falls at the feet of Steve Cohen. 888-808-1019 is the telephone number. 888-808-1019. Coming up, get more of your phone calls involved. We'll hit on what I think this play, this is bigger than just the Dodgers landing another player. I think this has ramifications for 2027. And maybe I've spent too much time on YouTube. Maybe I've gone down too many rabbit holes. But to me, there is a very believable conspiracy theory to me about how this deal impacts baseball moving forward.